Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Many people know it as the Lord's Prayer, but really, it's better called the Model Prayer, Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. That is the prayer. And today, that's exactly what we're going to study about and do. Someone said prayer is one of the most studied subjects in the Bible and the least practiced. I hope that's not true. But this is Bert Harper along with Jim Stanley. Alex is traveling. He's been out in Colorado. And earlier, he was on the radio with Tim Wildman. And he was where, guys? On Pike's Peak?
On Pike's Peak. As I understand it, just feet from the summit. You know, the very top of Pike's Peak.
Right.
And I just want you to know, I joked about this just before the program, but I'm almost sure I could do a better job on exploring the Word today if I was at the summit of Pike's Peak.
Tell us why now. Come on now.
Because I will be closer to God than I have been.
Yeah. With Alex, we have fun here. We love Alex McFarland.
Yes, sir.
But it's always interesting to find out where he is. And you that do not know this, he's usually on Thursday mornings. He's a guest on Today's Issues
right.
with Tim. And Tim's first question is, where are you today, Alex? And he is a traveler of the world, especially the United States, but he couldn't make those connections today and get back. So, Jim, thank you for coming in, and we appreciate this. And matter of fact, it's kind of become, I hope it's not the Three Stooges or the Three Amigos,
right?
The three students of the
right.
Word of God trying to help with exploring the Word, and it's always fun to do that, brother.
Brother, I you know I've said this before, and I'll say it again. God was able to use Balaam's donkey. And so if he can use me, I want him to. But you're right. We talk about teaching, and we talk about sharing and exploring the Word. But one of the things about our exploration is that we are simply beggars helping other beggars find bread.
Amen. We're always on the journey, and we've never arrived.
That's right.
That's what's amazing about the Bible. I will preach from a passage of Scripture, and several times, and I'll go back through it again, and guess what? I see things I never saw. A lot of it has to do with, yes, information you've gathered,
right.
Situations in your life that you've noticed, and also the Lord revealing things to you. It's revelation. So today we're going to look at prayer. Prayer is so important, so vital, and what was it? Knox on his knees made
right.
the Queen of England quake.
Yeah.
And, prayer moves the hearts of God. And I would say prayer matters to God. God does put a premium
Absolutely.
On prayer.
He sure does. And I really like what you said at the beginning of the program when you started talking about the prayer in Matthew. And the thing about that is that when you look at that, and again, it goes back to context. We've talked about this every time. Look at this prayer in the context of which it was given. And it says, when you're talking about that, Jesus said, so ought you to pray this way. Not this prayer, but this way. And so when you look at the prayer that Jesus did, you see that it is really an outline for us. And it's not to be, now there's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer. I know that folks do it at schools. I know we've done it here during our morning devotions from time to time. There is absolutely nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer and praying it in unity, because hopefully that would bring unity in the church when that happens. But we never want it to just be liturgical. We don't want it to just be a prayer that we pray because we have it memorized and we know the words. Amen. But when we dig into it, we see the depth of what it is. And Bert, I took the outline that you sent me and I posted it on our Facebook page. And there I put what we were going to be doing today. And so we're going to look at some types of prayer, if you will. And then we're going to take and we're going to, when we open up our phone lines today, we're not really going to answer Bible questions. We want to focus on prayer. And if you have a prayer need, man, we want you to share that with us.
That's exactly right.
And then we're going to have a congregational prayer where we ask people to come together all across the country and pray for those needs collectively.
Amen, Jim.
Bert, think about that. The hundreds of thousands of listeners that we have, if we could get them collectively to pray for 30 seconds, not a pharisaical prayer, but just to pray, to turn to God. If we could do that here, and we could do that together, and we could do it in unity, regardless of our denominations, we take and we focus that time of prayer, and we say, God, have your way in this country. God, have your way in my state. Have your way in my community. Have your way in my church. Have your way in my heart. Now, some folks are going to say, well, you should have done that differently. Perhaps. But if we can do that, if we can take, and as we go through these, I think we see from the what I call the disciples' prayer, because you and I have talked about before in John 17, is where the Lord prays for us. He prayed for the disciples, but then he also prayed for all those who God would give
him. I get chill bumps. I mean, I do, thinking about him actually.
Amen.
In chapter 17 of John,
right.
Praying
right.
For me.
Absolutely.
And we'll get to that.
Because that's personal.
Yes, it is.
That's a personal prayer. So as we go through these, we'll see that one of the places, I believe it's where we're going to start, is with confession. Is that right?
Yes, right.
All right. And so with confession should come repentance. And so, Todd Friel's been here for most of the day, and he's got a pamphlet that says, Are You a Rotten Fish? And I want to get him back with us one day. And that's something that he's sending out free to those that will take and use it and share it on college campuses and different things. And also, hopefully, that people will take and read that. And so in there, he takes and he challenges a couple of things that we often take for granted. One of those is what we call the sinner's prayer. He takes, and so we want repentance to be an individual thing. But when we take and we have what we call the quote-unquote model prayer, if you will, that's not to tell people that's the instrument of their salvation. And so we may say, you have to believe. You have to know who Jesus is. And so, but there's some really good stuff in there. Amen. And I think it would make for a great exploring the word. But today, we're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to start with confession.
We are starting with confession. And this is one Jesus did not have to do. All the others, we'll get to it. And Jesus did not have to confess. He had no sin right. to confess. And when we start there, I'm not saying you do. In the model prayer, he starts with adoration and praise, but we start with confession because I just want to tell you, the Bible says, if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. That's pretty severe, Jim, when you think about that if I regard it, has the idea, when I recognize it and I let it stay, mm-hmm. It's more than recognizing. It's got, God has shown us that we have these blind spots, we've got this addiction, we have this attitude that is wrong, and we regard it and do not do anything about it, the right. Lord will not hear us. So we come to the Lord with confession. Matter of fact, in the model prayer, forgive us our debts. In
right.
the model prayer, he demonstrate. But it says also, as we forgive our debtors. I mean, so if we're not going to forgive others, we better watch out how we ask God to forgive us. Jesus
right.
said something about that if we're not willing to forgive a brother, then he was looking at not forgiving us.
Yeah.
We've got to have that attitude of confession. The word confession, by the way, means to say the same thing or agree with.
Right.
When I confess my sin, I'm agreeing with God what he says about that sin
That's
in
right.
my life.
That's right. And you know, as you were talking about that, for unforgiveness and bitterness in someone's heart, that does not necessarily hurt the person that you're harboring that against.
Many times they don't even know it.
Yeah, they don't have a clue because, you know, we all have more than one face. And I know that's a Southern term, two-faced, but it means, you know, that you may have all this bitterness in your heart, but when you're talking to them, it's almost like you've gotten the honey dipper.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just the honey's dripping. And you know, when the scripture tells us to do good things for our enemies and it will heap, you know, coals of fire upon their head, it's not talking about in conversation. If we have aught against a brother, we're told, and in fact, we've talked about this when partaking of the Lord's Supper.
Oh, me.
You know, if you have aught against your brother, you're supposed to leave the altar, go find that brother or sister, and make things right with them, or you risk the taking part of something that could literally physically kill you.
It did. It did to Corinthians.
That's right.
Died. Well, let me share this about confession. It should be involved with the circle of those involved. Let me give you an example, Jim.
Oh, wait. It's not supposed to be in front of the entire church and everybody can
not all the
build
time.
On it. There
not
are times
the,
for that.
There are times. It's the area of influence. If I had an attitude, and Devin's over here, he's doing the board, so I'm going to use Devin for an if I had something against him, but Devin did not know it, and I don't, by the way, and I say, Devin, I haven't liked you for 2 years, and I just want to tell you that, and I'm confessing it.
Wow.
You don't do it. That's between you and the Lord. It's
right.
an attitude that you need to get right. I've seen that done. People think, well, okay, I don't like, so I'm going to go let them know that I don't like them and let them know that I'm asking them to forgive. They don't even know it. They haven't recognized it. Now, if I've said something to Devin, and it was wrong, I go to Devin and Devin alone and do that.
That's right.
So it's the circle of area
right.
of those that are in the pain, and sometimes it is the whole church. Now, I believe it's harder today than it was in the day of Christ because that day they were meeting in homes.
Right.
And now you got mega churches and everything. But it may be an area of influence. It may have been the pastor or staff member, and guess what they need to do? Because it influenced the
That's
whole
right.
church. They may need to get up there. Yeah, but you don't have to dump the whole line,
oh, no.
by the way.
No, you don't. You go, and if you have sinned against a church, and you stand in that pulpit, and you tell that church that I have sinned, and I've sinned against you, and because of that, I'm stepping down. That's a very tough place to be. For the person who may be in ministry, doesn't mean that it's wrong for that person to have done that. And it doesn't mean that that person is automatically back in the pulpit that next Sunday.
There's restoration.
Even though, that's right.
Place.
And that's when we talk about repentance, we also need to go through restoration.
Yeah.
Now, if I have aught against you, and you know I don't, and I harbor that, and I hold on to that, and then I decide, you know, Bert really didn't do anything. I did this, then what that means is I need to come to Bert and I need to say to Bert, Bert, I've done this and I've had this ill in my heart, but I want you to know that I love you and I need you to forgive me.
That's called confession.
And you do it one-on-one. Folks, we'll be right back on Exploring the Word here on AFR.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for John Fleming, Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Development. His agency provides resources to help communities create new job opportunities and stimulate commercial growth. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 reminds us of the importance of lifting up others. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for John Fleming as he works to provide employment opportunities for Americans. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
You wouldn't drive in a fog so thick you couldn't see the road in front of you. But Dr. Tony Evans says some of us cruise through life with just as cloudy a perspective. He'll talk about how to get a clearer vision today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Suppose your ninth or tenth grader came to you and said, "Mama, Dad, I'm going to drop out of school." You know that child is thinking short term. See, they're only thinking about what's happening now. But because you have a long-term perspective, and you know if they don't at least get a high school education, they're going to be living with you for the rest of their life, you're going to resist a short-term view. So it is with the spiritual life. Unless you possess an eternal perspective, then you will not experience the life of Christ in history. If all your life is about now, then spiritual growth will not be a priority. Therefore, it will not be an experience. Therefore, you'll be useless, not useful. Therefore, you'll be fruitless, not fruitful. Therefore, you will not have an abundant entrance into heaven. God saved you because he wanted to use you. But God saved you because he had a use of you. He wants you to look further than you can see. And he wants you to rob from eternity, bring it into time so that you get both, so that you grow, so that you get to experience this.
Find out more about how to do that with the help of Tony's CD series, The Triumphant Trip to Glory, available at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Paul Balazs, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Bert, you know how he got that song?
Help me.
In church. And the pastor was praying that today the Lord would open the eyes of the congregation's heart. And Paul Balazs, he said, you know, you always got to be on the lookout for a good song. And so he said that he wrote that down. And then he came back and continued that. And so that we're talking about prayer today. And I forgot to tell you, but I had Devin.
Glad you did. I like surprises, yeah. Brother. I'm one of those. I heard that and I said, man, that's new. And I knew it. I knew Jim had been at work.
And so I got him to put in a couple of songs for us today. But I thought as we were talking about prayer, what a great way to remind folks that just as David confessed to the Lord after he had lain with Bathsheba, and he came back and he was saying, you know, God, I sinned against you. God opened the eyes of his heart. Amen. So he could see what that sin was and how desperate the sin was and how desperate David's life was. In fact, when we look at that, Bert, in Psalm 51, yes. And if I can get my, there we go. And he says, he gets down, and the whole thing of Psalm 51 is David's prayer of repentance. But he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." And this is when we're talking about believers, because David was praying this before the cross.
Yes, he was.
But now because of the cross, we as believers, I think, have a more, even more intimate understanding where we say, restore to me the joy, not of my salvation. And a lot of folks misquote that, yeah, where they say, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. No, no. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation.
Amen.
Being God, the provider of our salvation.
Amen, Jim.
That's a confession.
It is. And he was restored, and God used him. He was a man after God's own heart. When I see David, and I know that and understood that, God is not looking for perfection. But praise God, he is looking
Amen.
For a humble person mm-hmm. who will come admitting their sin and then walk right. Like the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. You remember what Jesus
right.
said, neither do I condemn thee. You go and sin no more.
Right.
There's a turning. If there's true confession, there's repentance, which is turning away from and turning to.
Right.
It's not enough to turn away. Now, a lot of folks are trying to do that. They're turning away from their habitual habit that they have. They're turning away from the addiction they have. And they're turning, but what are they turning to? Salvation is turning from and turning to.
Mm-hmm.
And salvation is not complete just turning from. You've got to come unto me, Jesus says,
right.
and learn of me. Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So that's the promise he gives us.
Amen. We've got 5 points. And
okay.
Knowing you and me, we may have to continue this on Monday, perhaps, but because tomorrow, of course, is Fire Away Friday. But let's talk about Thanksgiving.
Yes.
The prayer of Thanksgiving and how that comes into a believer's life.
Thanksgiving is for God's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you nearly have to tell a little bit about another kind of prayer in order to understand Thanksgiving. You have Thanksgiving and praise.
Right.
They go hand in hand.
Yes, sir.
Let me put the quick definition. Thanksgiving is thanking God for his hand that he gives. Praise is thanking God for his face or his character
right.
and person that he is.
Amen.
And so Thanksgiving is for those things. And I again, Jesus used that again and again about what God's done in John 17, which is that prayer for them. He says this, the world has not known you, but I have known you. Talking about yeah. Father. And even Jesus, thankful that he knows the Father and attitude. Paul writes it again and again, be thankful in all things and express. It says in it's in Philippians 4:6 that we're to bring everything for the Lord, our petitions, Lord, with, guess what? Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Let me make this statement, and I've made this statement several times on this program, Jim. I've never met the Spirit-filled Christian who did not have a spirit of thanksgiving.
Amen.
I don't think it is possible to walk with God and not have a thankful spirit. And that's the reason it says, thank God in everything, in every situation. Can we thank God for everything? I'll put it this way. I don't think you can at the immediate time, but what you do is I think you will see how God takes that, Romans 8:28,
right.
and works it for good. So you thank God for doing this thing in my life, for I know, God, you are going to work it for ultimately good.
Amen.
I don't understand it now, and it's hard for me to thank you for it now because that death was wrong for is what it did to my heart. That thing that happened to me did not help.
Right.
But God, I trust you. And so Thanksgiving is really a matter of trust in God.
Amen.
When it says, thank God in everything.
You know, in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter there, first chapter, verse 3, says, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive
there it is.
From God. And so what you were talking about is we may not understand
exactly
why God has that purpose. You know, I hate to say, I don't remember how many years it's been since Cooper Jasper died, you know, and that was a very traumatic time for JJ and his family. JJ Jasper, longtime morning host here on American Family Radio, professor of trivia on Trivia Friday, a great ambassador for us, and his beautiful wife, Mel. You know, their son was taken from them that afternoon. And they took, and through all of that, they trusted God. They didn't understand it. But because of what the Lord brought them through, with the measure of comfort He gave them, they have been able to take and comfort others, be it through the book, Losing Cooper, be it through the video that I believe is still available.
Flame on
at flameon.net, I believe, is still there, and it gives that story. And we've seen JJ take and continue to be a faithful man of God. We've seen Mel, and we see them in their lives. It's not like these folks put on a show when they walk through here. We see them away from here, and they love the Lord, and they still minister on that. Now, JJ has a great ministry of being a comedian and evangelist, and he ties the two of those together. But they have been able to reach people that I might not ever be able to talk to, because they were able to comfort people with the same comfort with which they had been given. And even in that tragedy, they took and they did it with thankful hearts and with never ceasing to praise God. And they even praised Him for the time that they had and how much of a difference that made. So that little blonde-headed boy who is in, I have no doubt, is one of those that was climbing all over Jesus. You know, that little boy, he has made such an impact in this world, even though he had been taken at a young age.
Two stories real quickly. A man that I had the privilege of being his pastor, his only son died at 17 years old in an accident. And I went to the funeral home to meet with him and talk, and I had no idea what I was going to say. He met me, and I just said, I'm here. And he took me aside, and he says, Bert, I have a choice to thank God for the 17 years I had my son, or to complain about the years that I did not have him. He said, I choose to thank God for the 17 years.
Amen.
That's taught me much. Another one, and it's a little bit of humor in it. There's this little girl who lived with her mom and dad, and they didn't go to church. He was the only child, but their neighbor started picking up the little girl, taking her to church and Sunday school. One day she came home from church and Sunday school, and she had heard about being thankful and even giving thanks at the table. So they sat down at the lunch table that day, and they'd never asked the blessing. Little girl said, I found out we're supposed to ask the blessing before we eat. And the dad reluctantly said, well, go ahead then. So you know how that can happen with children. Thank God for the peas and the beans and the potatoes and the chicken and the milk, you know, the whole bit. And after it was over, the father thought he would teach something to his daughter. He said, honey, I know you said that, but I'm the one that went out and worked every day so your mom could take these and cook them and break the beans and cook them. So it's her and me that's done this, not God. And she just simply bowed her head and says, God, thank you for mom and dad.
Yeah.
You know, it's a spirit of thanksgiving.
Right.
It is God. And listen, be thankful. Be thankful in all things. Don't let the spirit of antagonism and anger take away the joy
Absolutely
of thanksgiving.
Absolutely not. And by the way, that the website flameon.net is still up and is still active. And so if you perhaps have lost a loved one, I would encourage you to visit there. And if you'd like more information on JJ Jasper and how to bring him to your place to minister, he loves doing pro-life events. He enjoys doing wildlife things as well, you know, with the but you can find out information on that at
matter of fact he's going to be at the Fishbowl retreat that we have in October.
There you go. Okay.
And if you're interested in that and hearing JJ, he's gotten to be, we have him every year at Linden Valley Conference Center up in Tennessee. He drives up and he does it, and we started not having him, and somebody said, y'all are going to have JJ, so I had to go back and get JJ. Now, that's one of the first things we do is get JJ settled, so he'll be there for the Fishbowl retreat. You can go to repairingthefoundations.net to find that out in
Register. Right. Now, we've talked some about Thanksgiving and praise and how the two of those work together, and then how it even works together through Romans 8:28 and then as we shared there from 1 Corinthians. But as we continue to grow in our maturity of prayer, and I say that on purpose, but as we grow and we get beyond just me, 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 there is a purpose for reaching out for others in what we call intercessory prayer, isn't there?
There is. Intercessory prayer, you get the word, I'm interceding.
Right.
I'm coming in behalf. Guess what? We have an intercessor. His name is Jesus. We also have a second part of that. It says when we don't even know how to pray or what to pray for,
right,
the Holy Spirit makes those utterances known to
Amen.
The Father. Guess what, Jim? It takes two to get to the Father for me that I'm so confused. I have to go through Jesus, and many times I'm so messed up in my prayer that the Holy Spirit has to say, Father, here's what Bert meant to say. Here's what Bert needs. And, you know, I'm guilty. I get so excited, Jim, that sometimes I leave off the last part of my half sentence. And I'll get so excited about the next sentence that I leave off the first sentence. And I say, well, God knows what I meant when I'm praying. And I praise God he does. He does. But we have the privilege of interceding for one another.
Amen.
And what a privilege it is that we can intercede. John 17:9 is when Jesus, he was talking about that prayer, he interceded. He says, I pray for them.
That's right.
John 17:9, Jesus interceding for them, interceding for us. Even before we were born, he was interceding for us. And in the book of Colossians, it has an intercessory prayer. It's one of the most beautiful. If you're looking for a prayer for your church, look at the book of Colossians.
Amen.
Yeah, that's powerful, isn't it? I mean, it says that we may know him and know his will.
Amen.
And Father, so interceding, so you can intercede for an individual, you intercede for your family, you intercede for your church, you intercede for your community, you intercede for your nation, you intercede for these. And one of the things we do is the presidential prayer team.
That's right.
And we have a working relationship with them where we're interceding God to give these leaders wisdom as
right.
they serve in the
in
people.
In their different capacities.
As we the people.
That's right. Wanted to touch base on one point of the Holy Spirit. And I use the Amplified Bible for this. But in John...
Now, that means it's going to be long.
That's right. That's exactly what it means. Yeah. Let me back up on that. That's not what I meant. But here we go. They're not adding to the scripture.
Right.
They're breaking it down.
Explaining each word. Yeah.
All right. So in John 14:25, it says, I have told you these things while I am still with you. But here we go. In 26, but the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, being Jesus. Jesus is saying, this person, I've come with God's authority. This person is coming with our authority, and he can do these things in my name. So when you're talking about the Holy Spirit interceding for us, he's doing it in the name of Jesus as well. And let me finish that as we head into break. And he will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. What an active tense Holy Spirit comforter we have. Stick around. Your phone calls next, 888-589-8840 on Exploring the Word.
Peter said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. At the climax of the account, when Jesus restored Peter's personal relationship with him and Peter's call to ministry, he saw John following them. Jesus had just predicted that Peter would give his life for the gospel when Peter said, what about John, Lord? Jesus responded, what does he have to do with your calling? You follow me. With those words, Jesus hit a consistent flaw of the human condition. We derive value and self-worth by comparing ourselves to other people. Your ups, your downs, your failures, your victories were never meant to be compared to other people. We have been called to serve an audience of one. The only approval you need is His.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Does God exist? Is the Bible true? Does truth exist?
When people say there is no truth, I simply ask them this question. Is that true?
Join us this weekend for Cross Examined with Frank Turek, author of the bestseller, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
I actually think it takes more faith not to believe in the truthfulness of the Bible than it does to believe in the Bible.
Cross Examined with apologist Frank Turek, Saturday morning at 9 Central and Sunday afternoon at 4 Central on American Family Radio.
We have a liftoff.
Did you know a tiny microfilm Bible was the first to make a lunar landing with Apollo 14?
The Bible, just an inch and a half by an inch and a half, can be read only with a microscope and is today being called by collectors one of the rarest books in the world.
We gotta fire the gun.
The Lunar Bible began on a tragic note on January 27, 1967. During a launch pad test, a flash fire broke out and three astronauts were killed. Before his death, Lunar Module pilot Ed White said to a reporter he hoped someday to take a Bible to the moon. To honor the astronauts' memory, a series of events took place over many years, until White's dream was finally realized in 1971, when astronaut Edgar Mitchell took the Lunar Bible to the moon.
Engage with the Bible and its impact and influence in time and space.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Remember, redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled.
Conrad and Conrad, the scripture and song for, pardon me, Chris and Conrad, the story and song for you there of redemption.
Lead me to the cross.
Lead me to the cross. You know, all these other things are great and all these other things are handy. You know, and we have these fancy buildings. We have cathedrals. We have worship centers that have spared no expense for comfortable seating, for the right decor on the walls and all of that, but none of that's going to get anyone saved. We can only, now it's a great place to go and worship. I'm not putting down your church, people, believe me when I tell you that, but if you have a fuss over whether the picture of Adam and Eve and he has a belly button and you're upset about that, you're focused on the wrong thing.
Preach it, Jim.
The cross is to be the center of the message, and not the cross as an idol. But he who was crucified on the cross, and the work of the cross is what makes the difference.
Preach it. And we're here to share that. We want to make much of Jesus. We really do. And Jim is the cheerleader in saying we want to concentrate on the things that we unite us and we know is true. We call them the essentials. We call them the foundation, the fundamentals that we agree on. And some of those things, and we're not saying a lot of these things are unimportant. We're not talking about eschatology,
right?
Not being important. It is, but there's I mean, there's differences in thinking what it would be.
That's right.
Even among, I tell Alex, I said, even here at AFA and radio,
right,
there's differences on eschatology. Well, there's difference on an early earth. And
that's exactly what I was going to say.
And,
yes,
and
sir.
There is. Don't let those things divide.
That's right. And the reason for that is because it doesn't matter how old the earth is. What matters is that God spoke it into existence. It doesn't matter when Jesus comes back. We're called to be ready and watching for when he comes. Neither of those things are the hinges of my salvation.
And every time that comes up as a question,
right,
I do my best to say, now listen, this is what we see, but
right,
what's essential is knowing he's coming back.
That's exactly right.
He's coming back visibly, physically.
Amen.
And he's coming back, and our job is to be ready. And until then, guess what? Do you remember that old hymn? And I never hear it anymore. We'll work
until
Jesus
comes.
We'll work. And I know it kind of old-fashioned, but there's some good stuff in there.
Amen.
Hey, by the way, we're taking prayer requests today.
That's right.
Alex, just because he's not here is not the reason we're not answering questions.
No, but today's focused on prayer.
It's focused on prayer, and that's what we want to do. And we have people call in and say, man, would you pray for our son? Would you pray for the situation? We want to do that today. So that number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And while we're doing that, we talked about confession, thanksgiving, a little bit about praise. A good bit about intercession. Petition is praying for ourselves.
That's right.
And all petitions are not selfish. Lord, help me to fulfill your purpose. Jesus even prayed, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That's
right.
A prayer of petition that Jesus even prayed. So, yes, confess those sins. Get selfishness out. And petition God. Now, how does God answer, Jim? Yes, no, or not yet.
That's right.
Wait.
But he does answer.
And no is an answer.
That's right. And sometimes we need to accept no.
Exactly.
As the answer.
It's usually for our benefit.
It really is.
I don't mean to quote a great theologian, but I'm going to go ahead and do it, and you can throw me out. Garth Brooks says, thank God for unanswered prayer. I know. Now, send those emails to anyway, somebody else besides me.
That's right.
You know, I have fun.
There are people who literally have no oxygen left in their car because they just sucked it all in.
Okay. But praise the Lord when God has said no on several things that I wanted. And I mean that with all my heart.
1 Timothy 2:1 says, first of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. So that's what Paul said in 1 Timothy. Everyone. All right. And then, here we go. 1 Timothy 5:5. The real widow left all alone has put her hope in God and continues night and day in her petitions and prayers. He does hear those. And 1 John 5:15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So he is, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, and we've got some folks that are calling in now at 888-589-8840. For me, that was the case even here at AFR. Because when they brought WAQB on the air here in Tupelo, Mississippi, they were going to do Southern Gospel on that station. And I came and I applied for the job of doing that work, helping build that up. And it was like crickets. I never heard back. It was like I had never come in, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, this must not be the time. But then nearly 8 years later, I had a couple of friends that were here, and the church I was with wanted to do some spots for the church locally. And so they wanted me to come in and voice those. The voice was better that day than today. But and so I came in, and they say, hey, man, you should come and work with us. And so I did some weekends for several months. And then we had an evening guy who left the ministry. He went and moved to California. And then the Lord brought me in to do the evening shift and to do some other stuff. And now 19 years later, God has been faithful to keep me here. So sometimes wait doesn't mean wait till tomorrow. It doesn't mean wait till next week. It can mean wait for several years, but it comes back to watch and see what God's going to do.
Amen. Chances are they weren't ready for you and you weren't ready for them, but well, God knew the time.
I'm not entirely sure they're ready for me yet.
Well, let's go to the phone lines and we're going to pray. And some of these we'll pray immediately and some of them we may do together. But
right.
Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Philip. Philip, thank you for calling. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, I've got a nice stepson that I would like to be held up in prayer. 2 years ago, August 6th, he had a diving accident, and he's paralyzed. And we've got a GoFundMe going, and he's going to Panama City, which they've had some good success with the adult stem cell program.
Yes.
And we're believing and praying that this is going to be a miracle.
Amen. Well, we're going to join you, brother. We're going to join. Look, if you can find it's an older book, an older movie, Johnny, J-O-N-I. Mm-hmm. Were you going to say that?
I was.
And, Philip, if you haven't, find it. I don't care. Go and search for it. You may already have it, but get it. Johnny Erickson Tata, her story, brother, it'll help. But we need to pray, Jim.
Yeah, we do.
And I want to take this
Amen.
Individually.
Please
Is that
do.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you collectively, as Jim said earlier, 100,000 plus people all over the United States agreeing with Philip that, God, you are going to come alongside them and you're going to demonstrate your power. And, Father, we ask you that you would do a great and mighty work here through this research that they found, and that the stepson would respond, and there would be some activity there in the spine. I don't know exactly how it would happen, but, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we make our request known, understanding, just like the Old Testament saints, you can do it. But, Father, either way, we give you praise, glory, and honor, but we trust you, we call upon you, and ask you to heal this young man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Philip, for calling. And listen, do what I'm doing. Write these names down, and for the next 24 hours, think of them and pray for them.
That's right.
Let's go to, is it all right to go to Oklahoma?
It is. We're going to talk to Pamela. Pamela, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes.
Go right ahead, Pamela.
Oh, my mom, she's having some issues with her rotary cuff. She's completely torn and she's mailing off her package to Department of Labor. We've had some major issues with the workman's comp and she's taking care of me and my grandmother and my daughter and all of us, and she just needs healing and prayer for this package because they're really giving her some issues on fighting it. So
okay. And now you also had you wanted to pray for healing for yourself?
Yes. I'm chronically ill.
Okay. Well, we'll do it,
all right, Pamela, thank you for that call. And we've got a couple of other folks that have some health issues, so what we're going to do is we're going to take and we'll pray for you guys together. But Pamela, would you mind telling me your mom's name, not her last name, just her first name?
Yes, her name is Pamela as well.
Oh, okay. Well, that saves on stationery, doesn't it? All right,
yeah.
Pamela.
We're going to pray.
Believe me when I tell you, we're going to pray for you guys, okay? Thanks so much for your call. And we're going to stay in Oklahoma and we're going to talk to Penny.
Right.
Penny, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. If you'll go ahead and turn your radio down, it'll be easier to talk to us.
Okay. I want prayer for my daughter, Sydney. She's got ADD and PTSD, and she threatened suicide, and she drinks and drives, and she's a lesbian, and she was married to a woman, and her name's Krista. and they have a baby that's two. Her name's Reagan. I want prayer for all of them. Krista was raised in foster care, and she had a horrible, horrible growing up. It's just a bad, they're going through this divorce, and it's just really ugly. It's just really horrible.
Okay.
And I just need prayer for all of them.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to do that, Penny. We are. And, Bert, you know that this is kind of personal for me. And if you don't mind, I'm going to take and pray for these folks. And, folks, if we don't get to you today, that does not mean that your prayer request is not important. And you can always send those to us to word@afr.net, word@afr.net, and we'll share them with our staff as well.
We will.
But this afternoon, we're calling on you folks to pray alongside with us. Father, we thank you for Pamela, and Lord, we thank you for her mom, Pamela. And Lord, we thank you for Penny and Cindy and Christian and Reagan. Father, we understand that Cindy and Christian may not be living a lifestyle that's pleasing to you. But Father, that in no way shortens your love and the arm of your love that's been extended to them through Calvary. So Father, while we pray for their health issues, we pray that you would take and protect Reagan through this situation, because Lord, she is a child and she doesn't understand what's going on. And Lord, we ask that for Cindy, that you would help her with the depression that she's going through. And Father, that in all of this, you might be glorified, that you might be glorified, and that you would bring these folks to a place of repentance and confession, that they would know that they need to come back to you. Father, convict them by your Holy Spirit. That's a tough thing to ask for. But Lord, we leave it and we yield it to you. Father, again, for their health issues, we do ask that as the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, he might comfort the ailments, and Lord, especially the thoughts of suicide and the depression that comes along with post-traumatic stress disorder. Lord, that you would minister to them in a very real and special way and make much of your son Jesus in their lives. We do ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. What we're going to do, in place of going to the phone lines, we have a little bit of information.
That's right.
I'm going to
read it off.
Yeah, read it off. Chad from Texas, we're praying for your 19-year-old son who is strayed. And sister also, we're praying for them. We want you to pray for them. Jeremy, we're praying from Tennessee, praying for his marriage. There's been some unfaithfulness involved, and he's praying. We're praying God would make this marriage work. We're all sinners. We all need forgiveness.
That's right.
Father, there's nothing beneath you that you cannot forgive. And from another Pam in Texas, grandson and a granddaughter, they are facing the pressures of life, and we need to pray for them. And then we have a son, Rose in Arkansas, full of hate, can't say a kind word to anyone. That's anger. We know that. And then finally, Don, pray for our country, the enemies that seek to destroy it. And we are praying, but let me lead us in prayer. Got a minute left, and so every one of these, you join me in praying for them. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we call in upon you. We're asking you to do a work in each one of their lives, right where they are. They may be working, they may be driving. Father, whatever they are, but I would pray you would make your presence known to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for those that need to be saved. We're praying, Father, that the name of Jesus, that they would stop. And I pray for the anger for this young man, Father, that anger and hate would be taken away.
Amen.
And Father, for those grandchildren, that they'd be strong, for that marriage that needs to be restored. God, we pray that you'd do that work. And all the other prayers, God, we petition you, meet those needs according to your riches that are in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Folks, have a great afternoon. Again, send the prayer request we didn't get to, or if you have one, to word@afr.net.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.